Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for inviting me. And just a special note, Ziva and I met through a woman that I sponsor. We met at the OA birthday party in Los Angeles about 8 years ago. And it was instant communication. There was instant fire. There was an instant heart connection. It was very beautiful. And through the years, we have maintained that. It's as if I saw her yesterday. We haven't seen each other, what, 3 years? I don't know. But it is, a testament to the program that when you work these steps and when you live a life in a spiritual zone and can be happy, free, joyous, be of service, live a full life, know when you're wrong, admit it, you improve yourself. These things, you connect in a way that is like family, really. So it's quite beautiful, and it's very special. Here we are from all parts of the world, and we are connected. So I'm loving that. So I walked into OA 61 years ago. Don't go. Yes, I was 32 years old. I'm 93. You're supposed to be what? So I get a lot of mileage out of that. I know I look 60, 75. It could pass for 75, easy, right? Part of my miracle in life and aging so well is the 12 steps and finding this program 61 years ago. So OA was 3 years old when I came along. And I was a fat girl all my life. I was 150 pounds going into high school. At 9 years old, I was 220 going into high school. I started on pills and shots and amphetamines, laxatives, diuretics. When I was 14, my mother took me to a bariatrician. I see somebody else, an older person nodding their head. They know about that era when if you were obese, you went to a bariatrician and you got shots and pills, And so from the age of 14 until I got to OA at 32, for 18 years, I was in a yo-yo syndrome. I would diet for 6 months on the amphetamines, laxatives, diuretics, and when they stopped working, I gained the weight back. So I spent most of my adult life, and I was heavily girdled through my growing up years. I was addicted to pills and shots. I thought the high that you got from amphetamines was the way you were supposed to feel. I was also hooked on cigarettes. When I got to OA, they told me I could drink as much diet soda as I wanted. And so I got hooked on diet soda. So I could get hooked on you name it, I'm very grateful and fortunate. Alcohol was not anything that screamed. It didn't taste good. I like stuff that tastes good. I'm a crunch person. Sweets, not so much. And of course, the high that I got from the amphetamines would negate anything. If I took a sip of alcohol, I was on the floor. I mean, I couldn't handle it. So I never had the problem with alcohol, and I still don't. It's quite interesting. It just doesn't taste good to me. Anyways, and I'm all about taste. So, going through school and the high weight in my life was that when I was 22, I was 235 pounds. And then I got to OA when I was 32 years old. My cousin and I were professional dieters. We went to every diet doctor in town. And she found OA and led me to the program when I moved to California. I'm born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. I come from a prominent Jewish family. And I'm writing, I'm doing some creative writing and memoir and narratives and talking about growing up in Chicago in the 30s and 40s. It was a whole different world. And, in the postmortems of this election, We talk about the different votes, the Jewish vote. There is no Jewish vote anymore. There was in the old days, but and there was the reason for that is that people don't live in Jewish neighborhoods. Kids grow up, they don't have Jewish friends anymore. But for me, it was quite different. Everybody was Jewish. I grew up with Franklin Roosevelt. I thought he was Jewish, you know. So it was a whole different experience. And my father was very prominent in the community. And so I learned to be a, to sneak around to get what I wanted. My mother was a great cook and bake. We were Jewish. We, you know, we celebrated with food. We mourned with food. And it was the measure of a good time. Fast forward through the years, I got to OA. We moved to Cal. I got married late in life. I was 27. These days, that's not very old, but in 1958, 27, they had written me off, you know. So we moved to Cal, and I moved to California. I had two kids with my husband. I married a gambler, and through the OA program, my cousin led me to, I was led to Gammonon, Al-Anon, and Gammonon, and those programs helped me to clean house. By that I mean there was a full, I understood at a heart level that I had to clean up my side of the street. I could not point the finger at my husband, my mother, my father, the kids, my brother, it wasn't their fault that I wasn't moving and grooving. I would call them for money to bail me out. And finally, my brother said, "It's enough. I can't give you any more." And he said, "Are you going to just go right down with your husband?" I said, "Yes." I mean, I didn't know. That's who I was. And I'm so grateful that in the beginning, those OAers came. We know, of course, there was no Zoom and it was only in-person meetings. And through my OA sponsor, I was led to a Gammonon sponsor, and the Gammonon people would come to my house and take me, physically take me away so that I wouldn't bail my husband out. So my story is pretty dramatic, you know. I think we all have our share of drama. Many of us are, you know, addicted to attention and we're drama queens. Those of us who aren't, you know, live under the radar and, you know, want to manipulate and turn things around. And then there are those of us who are the control freaks. We come from all different areas, all different walks of life, but we share this mishigas inside of we're not enough, the lack of self-esteem. We don't like ourselves. We think we're, you know, we're not worthy. So that's the most common bond that we have. And through the years, and I've had a great deal of experience in the OA program, I moved to Phoenix, Arizona from Los Angeles, and there was no OA here. And so when I did get a meeting started with the help of three other women, I guarded it with my life and I understood. And for me, so I understood how important it was. It took me 8 years, 8.5 years, really, from the time I came in 1963 until 1971 is when I surrendered. That's what I mark my final, my first final surrender. You know, we surrender a lot of things beside the food in OA if we want to refine personality. And that's what the journey is all about, refining and growing and learning and giving and, you know, with a full heart, giving and receiving. So for me, I was 40 years old, 1971, when I hit my bottom. And it was again 8.5 years. I was on the gray sheet, perfect abstinence, had to be perfect, one little pickle, and I turned into a pumpkin. In those days, that was the mindset. Today, for some today, that is still a mindset, a very strict kind of abstinence. And for me, it was killing me. And it was at that final surrender in 1971, I called my sponsor, and it was held right after Halloween. And it was before Halloween. That was it. It was before Halloween, and the refrigerator was filled, the freezer was filled with Halloween candy. And I was going for the Halloween candy. And I said, I can't do this anymore. And I called my sponsor and I said, what's wrong with me? Why can't I? And she said, oh, Beverly, there's beauty in desperation. What? Beauty in desperation? My guts are spattered on the floor, and you're telling me there's beauty? She said, yes, because now you're open. Now you're ready to hear the truth. And the truth for me was I had to stop the perfectionism. I had to stop the counting of days. I had to take one day at a time, make a commitment, and live by it. It's simple, simple. You know, this program is very simple. It is not easy. But the principles are simple, and the principles are eternal. That's what's so gorgeous. I mean, you can go into any other code of ethics in the world, and these 12 steps will not be in against anything they say. So it'll all be in harmony. So I celebrate October. I was 40, so I celebrated 53 years. Surrender since that time. Pretty amazing thing. I don't call it abstinence anymore. For me, now this is for me. I have morphed into a place where I talk about food freedom. Every one of us has metabolic dysfunctions and metabolic changes. And as you get older, and I'm getting to be kind of expert in the area of aging, watch out, kids. I'm learning so much, and I'm open to learning. I've been led into functional medicine. I'm open for regenerative medicine. I'm looking at geroscience. And this program has done that for me. It has opened me up so that I am not afraid of what's going to come next. I was led, in 1993, so it's 30 years ago. I was led to an exercise program with an exercise guru and motivational speaker, a ninth degree black belt, Taekwondo, who changed my life in the way of exercise and fitness is concerned, and winning philosophies, and opened me up to many new positive ideas. And he taught me to suit up and show up. Just don't worry about what's going to happen. And that's what I did in OA. I knew I didn't matter. I don't know what's going to happen at the meeting. I just got to get there. Suit up and show up. Don't plan. Don't consider what. Don't control what's going to happen. Just suit up and show up. It has paid big dividends for me. And another very big thing that I learned from him was to fail forward. To continue to learn from failure, that perfection is a goal that will kill you. It is the robber of joy. Perfectionism in our art, and very few of us are really true perfectionists. Most of us are pseudo perfectionists and just want to knock ourselves down. Oh, well, you didn't get that right, dummy. You didn't do it. Why? You can't do anything. But so the idea perfectionists. Our kind of perfectionists think excellence is not good enough. Because why? Because we're not good enough. So when you begin to open up and understand that I am a part of humanity, and I want no more than my place, no less than my space. That's the definition of humility that I'm really loving. It's not to be groveling on the floor, but to take your space, know your place. You deserve this space. but not more than your space. Understand, you walk hand in hand with others. A beautiful concept, a beautiful concept. So for me, my journey has been quite remarkable. I was married for 46 years. I have two children. I have seven grandchildren, nine great-grandchildren. My husband passed away 20 years ago, and at that time, it took me a couple of years to come out of the ether. And since then, I have embraced ballroom dancing and creative writing, and of course, my kids are a huge part of my life. I've dodged a lot of bullets health-wise. I'm a cancer survivor. I've got three artificial hips. I just had a revision. I work out every day for 40. I work out 45 minutes for stretch and 45 minutes in a workout. I understand the importance of exercise for sobriety, mental sobriety, spiritual sobriety, for clarity, for just what do you call circulation, just circulation of the blood and for my brain. And you see, I'm searching for words here and there, but mostly I'm pretty lucid and strong when it comes to being clear. And that's a very, very beautiful gift. Someone said to me, I think you're a super ager. You're one of those that are going to be 100 years old. Whoa. Whoever dreamt of getting to 93? At 90, I was crawling. I'd fallen and my hip was out of order, was loose. My rectus femoris and the quad muscle was torn. My gluteus was torn. They wanted to put me on a walker. And my old physical fitness guru said, I said, but I'm still dancing, Mac. He said, if you're still dancing, I can fix you. And we st I started working out again at 90. Do you hear me?
5 minute warning.
Okay. That's very good. Time goes really quickly. And so 3 years ago, I went back to my physical fitness guru, who I worked out with for 12 and a half years, 5 days a week. It changed the trajectory of my life. It was an elite kind of training. He was the conditioning coach for the Chicago Cubs and the Oakland A's. He has won the Super Bowl rings. And I worked out with professional athletes. Me, Tucker Fisher Bevy, thunder thighs and knock knees and jiggly rear end. And here I am with professional athletes. And I'm still doing it. Hello, I'm back doing it. He passed away in August, and one of his proteges took over the class. We're all doing it on Zoom. And I've just been resurrected in many ways. So I am very, very grateful. I had a covenant with a higher power when I came to this program. It was a covenant that I value, that is still there. I want to live by spiritual principles. For me, it's been a journey. It's been a life-changing trajectory that has led me into tremendous personal power. I'm grateful to this program that gives me my foundation. Everything I do, I'm going to continue to take personal inventory and when I'm wrong, probably admit it. And I'm going to seek through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact at praying only for the knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. And you better believe I'm going to practice these principles in everything I do.